Can you see me? It was told that either I need to get plastic surgery or we need to get a better looking preacher. Since we've got lights that are showing up now, so I'm not sure which way I'll go with that. I think I'm probably going to opt for the plastic surgery. All right, because I don't plan to go anywhere. This is a great church, and we're excited to have all of you with us today. We have a number of guests, and we're honored by your presence. And we hope that this period of worship will be, first of all, acceptable to God, but also encouraging to you. The passage that was read this morning goes very well with what we talked about last week. The subject was submitting to the authority of God. This morning, I want to look at an event in the life of Simon Peter that relates to that very same topic. Verses 1 through 3, you will notice, now is that set correctly? My son-in-law is making sure that you get out on time today. Don't you love him? Mick, it's set for 15 till 6. This is not going to help me. Does somebody tell me what time it is? Because I don't even know. Say again. 11:30. One of our deacons, thank you very much. Some person I can... 10:47. 10:47. All right. Let's see. The 7 comes after the 6. All right. There we go. All right. There we go. Now, we're going to start over. Good morning. No, I'm not starting over. All right. I want you to notice the first three verses of this text again. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. The crowd is pushing so close to Jesus, pushing and pushing. They're desperate to hear his teaching. That's what they're wanting. They're wanting to hear what he has to say. They're wanting to hear this teaching from the Lord. And so they're pushing and pushing until Jesus is right up to the shoreline. He sees a couple of boats there. The fishermen are cleaning their nets. They've been working all night. They've worked hard. Now they've got to come in, clean the nets, and mend them and make sure everything's ready for tonight's work. And so Jesus gets in the boat that belongs to Peter. Says, come here, boys, come here. Get in the boat. Take me off away from shore a little bit. Now, if you've ever been out on the water, sound travels beautifully on the water. This was a natural PA system. And so Jesus is off just a little bit from the boat, and he sits down as the common practice of the great teachers of that day. He sits down in the boat, and he begins to teach them, and he preaches to them God's word. Peter got to hear this message up close and personal. Now, he'd already met Jesus. This was not their first meeting. In John chapter 1, Andrew, Peter's brother, who had found the Lord, Andrew was one of John's disciples, and he had heard Jesus, and he found him, and he went, and he brought his brother Peter to meet Jesus, saying, we have found the Messiah. Then, the next event is Matthew chapter 4. Jesus calls Peter and Andrew to follow him. This is the first fishers of men statement. He sees them at their boats, and he says, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And they followed him. So they traveled with Jesus throughout that area. They saw some amazing things. Look at Matthew 4. We're going to be in Matthew 4 and Mark chapter 1. So go ahead and open your Bibles to those two places. In Matthew 4, we're going to look at verses 23 through 25. And Jesus went about all Galilee. I want you to notice this from Peter's perspective. As Peter is watching, as Peter is seeing, look at this through his eyes, okay? That's my request for you this morning. Look at this through his eyes. And so they, as Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of diseases, or all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those that were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Healed them all. And great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond Jordan. Peter is seeing all this. The next mention of Peter is found in Mark chapter 1. This is following the, the historical events. Matthew and Mark, Luke, contemporaries traveling with Jesus, but they are seeing this and recording different things, different events that they noticed. But in Mark 1, they're with Jesus at the synagogue in Capernaum, and there he heals the sick and he casts out a demon. And I want you to look at verses 25 to 27. But Jesus, talking to this demon, this man has come and he's possessed by a demon. And so Jesus rebuked him, the demon, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Now look at this through Peter's eyes. He's seeing all this happen. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Now, the next thing they do then, they go to Peter's house. I don't know if they're going there for lunch. I don't know what their reason is. But the Bible says that they went immediately to Peter's house and they found that Peter's mother-in-law, his wife's mother, was sick with a very great fever, it says. And so Jesus simply healed her. Okay? He just healed her of the fever. And she immediately got up and began ministering to them. Now I want you to notice, starting in verse 32 of Mark chapter 1. Follow on with me. A long reading, but listen and look at this through Peter's eyes. "At evening when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door." Whose door? Peter's door. Peter's door. "Then he healed," Jesus healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, I cannot imagine how tiring that all was. But in the morning, a great while before daylight, Jesus went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. Where's the Lord? Got up that morning, fixed the coffee, whatever, and Jesus not there. They go looking for him. Where's the Lord? And when they found him, they said to him, the King James is really cool there, "All men seek for thee. Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, touched a leper. You don't do that. You don't do that. Peter's seeing this. He touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but you go your way, show yourself to the priests, and offer for your cleansing there those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." In other words, you can go and rejoin society. You've been cleansed. Follow God's ritual for you. The proper offerings, go show the priest, let him check you. Okay, no leprosy. You're welcome to go back to your family, go back to your life. But tell no one. Verse 45, however, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Peter is seeing all this. He has met Jesus before. He had seen it all. He had been there and he was watching and he had seen it all. Now there's every indication that while Peter was following Jesus, he still was doing work as a fisherman. He would still go out, not every day, because a lot of days he's with Jesus, but he still was doing some work as a fisherman. And so in our text in Luke 5, we find Peter is doing some fishing again with his brothers and with James and John. And so there they are fishing. So we go back to our text, look at verse 4 and 5. So when Jesus, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now here's where it starts getting a little bit hinky. That's a really good word, isn't it? It gets just a little bit weird. We have worked all night. We're professional fishermen, okay? And we have worked all night. Cast it, pull it in. Cast it, pull it in. We've worked all night. Nevertheless, at your word, we will let down the nets. Now, there are some really important life lessons that we can learn from this text. And as we continue reading this text to the end of the story in verse 11, I want to share six life lessons with you this morning that you can be amazed about, that you can think about, and look at this through Peter's eyes. The first life lesson is that faith needs to be real. Faith is not something you just talk about. Faith is something that has to be real. It has to be something that you have. It's not something you feel. It's something you choose. You choose to believe or you choose to doubt. You choose to trust or you choose not to believe. That's your choice. It's up to you. But faith needs to be real. And Peter, he had seen what Jesus had done. He had real faith in Jesus. Faith is not based on blind trust, folks. You know, he hadn't just met Jesus and then Jesus says, hey, here, let down your nets. No, all these texts that I've read for you this morning, Peter has seen the demons cast out. He has seen the sick healed. He's seen the diseases removed from these people. He has seen amazing things. He saw his own mother-in-law healed of a potentially deadly fever. He has seen incredible things. And so Jesus says, let down your net for a draught. Let down your net. Throw that same net out there and drag it in. See what happens. Well, you know, real faith? Yeah, Peter had seen enough from Jesus to know that Jesus was not to be ignored. So at your word, I will let down the nets. Not at my word. That wouldn't work. Not at, somebody in the crowd. Not their word. Not even his mother-in-law's word. That wouldn't do it. It wouldn't be good enough. But at thy word, I will let down the nets. Faith comes first. Then comes true obedience. Real obedience. Not only did he say he would let down the net, he did it. Obeying God is not an option, ladies and gentlemen. It's not an option. I meet people who are, you know, they have these problems with God. They have a problem with the way God has things organized. They have a problem with the way God is planning to deal with people. And they don't like it. They don't think it's fair. They don't think it's right. And they shake their fist at God as though they could do anything about it. What are you going to do about it? You don't like the things that God requires? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? He's God. He is God. He has the right to tell us anything and to demand anything. He is God. Shake your fist at God. What kind of foolish person is that? Who would tell God no? How do you tell God no? Evidently, you don't know who God is. Evidently, you don't recognize the power of God. Evidently, you don't realize the sovereignty of God, that He is in charge of this world. Evidently, you don't know who God is. If you would dare to tell God no, if you would dare to say no to God, no, obedience is the only response to God's commands. And that's the only way we can show our love for God, is by obeying Him. You can show your love to your wife by helping her with the dishes. You can show your love to your husband by speaking kind words to him and doing nice things for him. Bring him a good glass of ice-cold tea. Hint, hint. That wasn't for Faye. But you show your love to people by the thing. You show your love to God by doing what God says. That's what Jesus said. That's how you show your love to God. Third lesson. Sometimes God asks us to do things that just don't make sense. I mean, come on. Abraham, go and offer your son as a sacrifice, as a burnt offering. A burnt offering. Not a scapegoat where he's just released into the wild. No, sir. Cut his throat, bleed him out, burn him. A burnt offering. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Be baptized? Are you kidding me? It doesn't make sense. Why would we? What's the point? Why should we have to go to that? Why can't we just come down here and get on our knees and say a prayer? Be baptized. Like it or not, the Lord said do it. He said do it. Doesn't have to make sense because it's God. They fished all night. They caught nothing. Have you tried the other side of the boat? What? Have you tried the other side? It sounds ridiculous. But trust doesn't trust doesn't require it to make sense. If you trust, trust simply obeys. See, God requires things of us that sometimes just don't seem to make sense, but if we trust Him, we will obey Him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Trust Him. The fourth lesson, Jesus is the Lord. He is the Savior of the universe, the Savior of the world. He's your Savior. He is also Lord, Master, ruler of the universe. So you just don't tell Him no. So what are you going to do, Peter? Well, I'm going to let down the net. I've seen what Jesus did. And I trust Him enough that even if it doesn't make sense, because we are the ones who've been out here, let them down, pull them in. Let them down, pull them in. But, okay, at your word, I'll let down the net. Jesus is the solution to all of our problems. That's the fifth lesson. In verses 6 and 7 of our text in Luke chapter 5, turn back over there. We'll be in Luke 5, and then next we'll go to John 21, and the lesson will be yours. Verse 6 and 7, Jesus is the solution to all of our problems. And when they had done this, when they let down the net, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. You know, a good catch of fish meant that the bills could be paid and that food would be on the table. A good catch of fish meant that they had a good day's work, or a good night's work in this case, and that they could benefit, they could prosper, they could improve their situation. They could keep the wolf away from the door for another day. But they had worked all night and caught nothing. And Jesus, when they obeyed Him, you see, they let Him use their boat to teach His lesson. Then they did what He told them to do, take you going out a little bit and go into the deep and let down your net. Okay, they did it. And when they obeyed the Lord, they were blessed. You know what that means, folks? You obey the Lord, He's going to bless you. He's going to bless you. Now, I'm not talking some seed faith religion where if you send your money in, that you'll get $1 million or something of that nature like they claim on television. Not that kind of thing. But the Lord will bless you when you obey Him. He will bless you. And if you'll obey Him, not only will He bless you, He will save you. And He will take you to heaven when you die if you obey the Lord. He is the solution to all of our problems. And finally, Jesus knows what He's talking about. Look at verses 8 through 11. Verses 8 through 11 of Luke chapter 5. When Simon Peter saw it, what? This incredible catch of fish. What happened? When he saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." I'm reminded of Isaiah's response as he had that vision. And he's before the throne of God and he sees the Lord and he's convinced he's going to die. And the angel comes to him, "I'm a man of unclean lips, among a people of unclean lips." And an angel takes a coal from the fires and touches his lips in the vision. And he's made cleansed. He's cleansed of all of his sinfulness, of all of the filth, all the corruption, all the junk that's in his life. He's cleansed from all that so that he can be in the presence of God. Brothers and sisters, that's what Jesus does for us. Not only is he the solution to all of our problems, he knows what he's talking about. He's the one that will take our sins away. And he will bless us when we do what's right. Now, I want you to notice, so Peter falls down and he says, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch. After all that Peter had seen, he was astonished at the catch which they had taken. Why? Because he knew the fish weren't there. They had been fishing all night and caught nothing. And now they've got two boat loads of fish to the point that the boats are sinking. Astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Peter, I mean with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So that when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. When Jesus tells you to do something, or if he tells you not to do something, you can be assured Jesus knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's talking about. So now 3 years have passed. The ministry of Jesus on this earth is over. The disciples have seen everything they were going to see. They have seen Jesus betrayed. They've seen him crucified. They've seen him buried. They've seen him resurrected from the dead. They've seen him twice now since he was resurrected from the dead. And Peter is eaten up with guilt. Turn to John 21. Peter is eaten up by the guilt that he feels. What do you mean? Peter's failure has crushed his hope. He had hope of being one of God's apostles. Now, that hope is gone. I've betrayed the Lord. I've denied the Lord. I've denied the Lord. There's nothing for me. He seems to feel he's of no further use to the risen Lord. And so he decides to return to his former career. He's a fisherman. So Peter announced, "I'm going fishing. I'm going back to my job. There's nothing for me here." And some of the other guys decide they'll go with him. They'll tag along to help. Because you can't go fishing by yourself with a seine net. You've got to have help. So they go along for help. And they worked all night, and they cast the net and pulled it in. They cast the net and they pulled it in. They cast the net and they pulled it in. They caught nothing. Sound familiar? 3 years earlier, same thing. They caught nothing. But you know, it feels good to work. Get your mind off your troubles, off your failures and all this. And then they see a man on the shore. "Have you had any luck? Have you caught anything?" Oh, I hate it when somebody asks you if you've caught something, you hadn't caught anything. Don't you just hate that? Don't you just wish they'd just mind their own business, leave me alone? I'm embarrassed enough as it is. I fished all night, caught nothing. I hate that. "Have you caught anything? You had any luck?" "No, nothing." "Well, the fish are on the other side of the boat." I know you can't see that on a tape or a CD. But I mean, you know they rolled their eyes. They had to roll their eyes. That's a universal symbol for, "I can't believe this. The fish are on the other side of the boat." I hate it when somebody tells me how to fish. I don't like it when somebody tells me how to preach. Tom says, "Keep practicing. I'm going to get this right one of these days, Tom." Desperation will cause you to do anything, folks. So they cast the net, and whoa, it's so heavy with fish, they can't even pull it in, and the nets are breaking. And John says to Peter, "It's the Lord." And the light goes on in Peter's eyes. The light had been out since he denied the Lord. There'd been no light. There'd been no fire. Peter, this impetuous man of fire, this man who was going to lead God's people, the light went out when he denied the Lord, and that rooster crowed, and Jesus looked at him, and the light went out in his eyes, and the light had not been there since. But now the light came on again. "It's the Lord?" And he grabbed his fisher's coat and he jumped in the water and he swam to shore. And the guys were like, Peter, we can't get these fish in. So he swims to shore. Well, here comes the other guys and they're dragging the fish in the water. They can't pull them up the boat. They're dragging and rowing and trying to get to shore. And they finally get to shore and it is the Lord. And when they get there, Jesus has a fire and coals on the fire and he has bread. And he tells him, bring the fish. And so they cook some fish and they have a nice breakfast of bread and fish. And I'm sure that was a tense meal. Nobody dared ask him if you're the Lord because they knew it was the Lord. I think that was a quiet meal. I don't think anybody said anything. I don't know this for sure, but it just seems that there would be tension in the air. Because, see, it wasn't just Peter, but they all forsook him and fled. All of them forsook him and fled when he was betrayed, when he was arrested. They all forsook him and fled. And so here's Jesus, and he's fixed food for them. And the last time they ate with Jesus was the Lord's Supper. And so here now they're eating with him again, and breakfast is finished. And so we come to John 21, verse 15 and 16. Jesus breaks the silence with a question. He says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Now, I don't know if the these is referring to the fish or if it's referring to these men. Do you love me more than these men? Than you love these men? Do you love me more than you love these fish? Do you love me more than these men love me? Do you love me more than these? Doesn't matter. However you want to interpret that question, it's a question of quality and quantity. Do you love me more than these? And Simon, well, let's put it this way. Peter's confidence in himself is shot. Okay. Earlier he had boasted how he would die with Jesus. And then he said, I will never deny you. But Jesus knew. And now Peter accepts that Jesus knew all things. Listen carefully. Peter accepts. Jesus knows all things. He knew that Peter would deny. He knew the rooster would crow. He knew that there were fish on the other side of the boat. He knew how much Peter loved him. Why ask? But he's asking. Peter, do you love me more than these? Jesus says, Peter, do you agape me? Selfless, unconditional love. Do you love me unconditionally more than these? And Peter's response, Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But he didn't answer with agape. He said, phileo. You know that I feel affection for you. You know that I'm drawn to you. You know that I have feelings in my heart for you. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. And then Jesus asked Peter a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Agape again. And Peter answers, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Phileo, again. You see, after all his failure, Peter would not say that he loved Jesus with agape love. Jesus knows all things. How do I know that I love him with agape love? I mean, I failed before. How can I honestly say that I love him unconditionally? How can I honestly admit this in my heart when I know he knows my heart? How can I honestly say that I love him unconditionally? When in my heart I doubt that I'm even able to love unconditionally. I don't know what Peter is thinking, but I know what I'm thinking. I know what I'm feeling. And he says to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Phileo. Now, Jesus came down one level. Do you love me with phileo love? And Peter is grieved because he said to him the third time, how many times did Peter deny? Three times. How many times did Jesus ask, do you love me? Three times. I think that's not a coincidence. He asked him a third time, do you love me, phileo? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus says to him, feed my sheep then. Do you know what Jesus is saying to Peter? I have work for you to do. That helps me. That helps me so much. that Peter was told, I have work for you. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. There's a work for you to do, Peter. Oh, folks, that helps me. Because I fail so much. There's so much that I just don't get time to do. I don't get around to. I'm so unorganized and I'm so struggling with so many things. That helps me so much. Feed my sheep. Then Jesus goes on to say in verses 18 and 19, he says to him, most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished, but when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. And this he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Peter, I accept you. Peter, I want you. Peter, I have work for you to do. Follow me. This journey began 3 years ago with those same words. Follow me. Peter had been restored now to the Lord's service with the same words. Follow me. Jesus knew that Peter did not love him like he needed to. He knew that. But Jesus accepted Peter with what love he had. And of course, as time went on, Peter did ultimately prove that he loved Jesus with agape love, with the ultimate unconditional love. He proved that time and time again by the things he did, by the way he lived. But Jesus accepted Peter where he was. Listen, church, he accepts you and me where we are, just as I am. He accepts us where we are. Come to Jesus and live. Obey His voice. Have the attitude of heart like Peter had. At your word, I will. At your word, I will. Whatever your situation today, will you trust Jesus enough that when He tells you to do something, you'll just do it? When He tells you to give up something, you'll just give it up? Haven't you seen the Lord work in your life? Look, Peter saw this. He came to terms with this reality. I've seen the Lord work in my life. I've seen what He can do. And yet He still wants me. I want to serve Him. Nevertheless, Lord, at your word, I will let down the net. The Lord has given His word, brothers and sisters. He's given His word, friends and neighbors. And if you've not obeyed the gospel, you need to become a child of God today. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. But only if you believe. And if you've already done that, but you've not been faithful to your Lord, whatever the situation, whatever the reason, whatever the circumstance, it doesn't matter. If you've not been faithful to your Lord, you need to rededicate your life to Him today. If you need our prayers, let that be known. But whatever the way we can help you, without delay, we encourage you to come right now, if you need to, as we stand and sing.